Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, welcome to Fight Talk Unlimited. This is Rabble Rousing Rich Bertrand.
Yo, this is the Tornado of Hawaiian.
Tony Pentacal. Don't mess with him. Matt.
There's a fucking computer out the window. It takes me a fucking week to fix it. I fix it, and the guy was laying some shit on here. He's like, it's like telling me I gotta reboot. I reboot the fucking piece of shit, and I'm stuck where I was a week ago.
Wow.
That's why I hate it. Like, if I don't want to reboot, don't fucking tell me to reboot.
Ran to the Geek Squad.
It was the Geek Squad that fucked it up.
Uh-oh. Don't bring it to the Geek Squad.
Yeah, I'm in one of my, you know, exponentially ornery moves today.
Anyway, we have some unbelievable guests because I'm just stepping up to the plate. You know, last week we were just talking about how good it could be. We had two guests in one show. So tonight we have a guest that we just secured this afternoon. And an apropos guest because we have the big finale of the Ultimate Fighter show coming up this weekend. And, you know, should be some interesting fights going on. Of course, the main event is Rich Franklin versus Chuck Liddell. throw down. It was kind of thrown together instead of Chuck versus Ortiz. We have that show, Rich Attenito, who's a New England guy, and I just met him at a promotion a couple weeks ago in Worcester. What were you going to say, Tony?
When is this fight card again?
This Saturday.
Great. So I can expect a call from my one retarded friend. Oh, my God, it's going to be the greatest fight ever. You have to come over. And then I got to figure out.
A lot of MMA guests, this guy, Rich Attenito, he is a very big fan of boxing to the point that they actually call him the Raging Bull. And it was a nickname that was not something he came up with. So he'll tell the story himself when he gets on. But the main event guest is coming on at 8:30. And it's two guests, actually, Lyle Howery and Angela Magana, who is a 110-pound fighter. And she's going to be on the show, The Ultimate Women Challenge, coming on in September on a major network. I think, let me just double-check my sources here. I'll tell you. NBC, September 2010. Boss Rutten and... Joanna Krupa is going to be, are going to be the hosts, and if you might remember, if you listened to us for a long time, you might remember Patricia Vodonik was on the show.
Yeah, I remember that.
And, but anyway, she's going to be on, Angela is going to be on, she's pretty damn tough. I just watched her fight here on the UltimateWomenChallenge.com website versus Megan Wright, and she just about ripped a girl gone off. Armbar, so she's going to be an intense interview. It's come from a rough upbringing and obviously very exciting fighter, so I can't wait to talk to both of these folks about the show. And of course, you know, we're going to have them patched in and keep them on the show to talk to Rich Attenito and kind of pick his brain if they want to about, you know, what a reality show's like and, you know, compare notes. I'm sure they've, if it's coming on in September, they must have already filmed it or getting close to wrapping it up. But anyway, that should be interesting, and we do have some other stuff to talk about. We have Dana White trashing boxing again. I don't know if you ever...
Now I'm going to trash that piece of shit. I'm telling you right now, you know what, Rich? It's not like this is a big statement right now, because... how often do I watch any of his shows anyway? Because I think he is overhyped. I mean, I think he's a poor man's Don King, honestly. Because, you know, at least, hey, Don King was a shyster, and Don King was a crook, and Don King, people say, ruined Mike Tyson. Well, Mike Tyson actually ruined Mike Tyson, you know. It was his, King just got in his head a little bit. But the thing is, this retard... And I'm talking about Dana White. We'll come out there and he'll talk all this shit and he'll trash another sport. You know, if you want to make yourself big, don't trash something else. Put on quality shows. Don't tell me, you know, come out there. And I'll never forget when we listened to that interview he did right before Mayweather Marquez. All you're going to see with that is 12 rounds of dancing. It's going to be dancing. It's going to be terrible. Buy my shirt. It's going to have 7 great fights. And there were 7 pieces of shit. You know, there were 7, you know, just 2 guys rolling on the ground. The main event was one with, like, they said it was terrible. And then he had this other fight a few weeks ago, and his biggest star out there, he's going to throw out because the guy basically made a mockery of the fight. Because he was too good for the other guy, so he didn't put action on, he basically danced around the ring. So who's really dancing with the stars?
Well, anyway... Let's just play this little 4 minutes and change clip, and I want your commentary after that.
Well, you're going to get my commentary, and thank God we're an R-rated show.
Let's just, let Dana talk.
Thank you for that. By the way, he'll talk, then I'll talk.
If you're right, you're absolutely looking out for Cal Davis. We're talking with Dana White. He is the president of the UFC. The event takes place again live on pay-per-view Saturday, June 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. It's your old friend Scott Casper. You recognize the voice from Takedown Radio. Found a home, not just in Las Vegas, but within a sport that you helped to foster, to help bring up. And you've had some guys, the potatoes take some chances on a sport that was costing a lot of money initially, but it has paid back in spades. Are you happy with your relationship with our friends in the Middle East?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a business relationship with those guys, and they've been great partners. Lots of people have been trying to invest in this company over the years, but we really didn't need anything from anybody. We were looking for strategic partners, somebody who could take us to the next level faster than we could do it ourselves. And these are the guys. These are the guys that are getting us into China, India, South Korea, and many other countries. Fast.
Yeah, they absolutely are very fast. We've got some great connections and a whole box of money. We're talking with Dana White. Dana, Couture versus boxing. James Tony, is that fight set for August? Is it a done deal? What's going to happen?
It's a done deal. It's set for August in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh boy, Randy Couture is going to stand up for the UFC for MMA and take down boxing. Is this the fight that needs to happen? Are these the right two guys?
Well, I don't know if it actually needed to happen, but, James Tony chased me around, calling me all kinds of names for months, and, wanted this fight. So he talked himself into a fight, and Randy Couture is the guy who stepped up and said, Dana, I want this fight. I really want this fight. So, both guys really want it. It's boxing versus MMA. It should be fun.
It should be, but a takedown's a takedown. Then there's that element of control, and then, of course, the ground and pound that RC's so famous for. Is boxing dead because of the UFC?
No, boxing's dying because of itself. These guys have shot themselves in the foot so many times, over and over and over again. And, it sucks because it's a great sport, too. And they can both coexist. Boxing hurting yourself over and over again.
But you can't have the banker be the guy making the deposit and doing the counting out at the same time. I don't think that's healthy for any business, is it?
I think it's the fragmentation of boxing. There's so many different things. I mean, I could literally stay on the phone with you for a week and tell you all the things that I think are wrong with boxing.
Oh, there's a lot of final question for everybody. Brock Lesnar, Shane Carwin. This is a match I feel has to happen. Shane feels unfulfilled if he doesn't face Brock. Brock seems to be healthy. Marty's got him hit the bag's heart up in Minnesota. What are your thoughts on Lesnar versus Carwin? That's a main event anybody could.
I think it's the biggest heavyweight fight in UFC history. A lot of people have been chirping that Brock is too big for that weight division. Well, not for this guy. Shane Carwin's 265 pounds, can knock you out with either hand. Undefeated and a great wrestler, too. So,
all right, Tony, what do you think?
Okay. Is he in stand-up comedy? Seriously. Is the man in stand-up fucking comedy? I'm being serious here. Because boxing is a dying sport because it's killing itself. And I missed the one part he was saying. Was he trying to take a bash on, people that are in the ring, like financing or something? What was he talking about there?
Well, that was kind of Casper button in.
Okay, that's what kind of threw me off. But what I was telling you, I don't know if he was trying to make a push at Oscar De La Hoya there, who ran Golden Boy Promotions while he was still fighting, or even the guy like Floyd Mayweather, or some of the other fighters that are also dipping into the promotional end of it. First of all, I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing. The fact that Oscar De La Hoya may have promoted some of his own fights, I don't see that as a bad thing, because of the fact that there was more bias in those fights. It wasn't like, okay, Oscar De La Hoya is fighting here, and, he loses every round, but he wins the fight. Or the other guy has to come in with his hands tied behind his back. No, it was all legitimate. Oscar De La Hoya did a great job as a promoter, and he really helped breathe new life into boxing. How? Because for a long time, it was either Don King versus Bob Arum. And a little bit ago, I talked about Don King and some of the things I didn't like about him. I mean, Don King did things that were kind of shady, saying, okay, for Holyfield to get a title fight with Tyson, Holyfield's like, if Holyfield wins, his next three fights are with Don King, which is kind of shady, but Holyfield took it to get the fight. And then it was like he would never work with Bob Arum, they wouldn't work with each other, all that bullshit for a lot of years. So a lot of big fights didn't happen. But then with the Golden Boy Promotions in the mix, And, you know, guys, like, they started controlling the promoter. It was, hey, a big fight wants to happen, a big fight is going to happen. We had De La Hoya Mayweather, you know, a couple of De La Hoya Mosley fights, Pacquiao, De La Hoya, all big, big fights here that happened because there was cooperation, because there was another entity in there that was, you know, giving some competition. So, yeah, boxing is a dying sport? Uh-uh, son. No, it's not. I'm sorry. And you know how I can prove that to you? Go to a local fight card. And I'm not talking about, you know, a main event, pay-per-view Atlantic City card, because you're going to get them selling out. You know, you get, I mean, you bring a guy like Arturo Gatti to Atlantic City, he could be fighting his mother. It was going to sell out because he was Gatti. But you just go to a regular fight now, a local fight. I'm going to one next month down in Philadelphia. I guarantee you, I'm going to have a tough time, you know, getting seats for all my friends down there that want to go, because this one is going to be, it's an all-Philadelphia fight. It's going to be action-packed. And then we'll say, and then Dana White will probably crow something like this. Well, it's just a bunch of old men going there to watch the fight, because boxing is an old man sport. Really? I'm 33. And I get a lot of these cards that are people younger than me. And I've gone to fight cards. I've seen 8 and 9 year old kids there going to their first fights, having a great time. You know, Dana, there's something for everybody.
You know
there's
what really grinds my gears?
What really grinds my gears? Like an asshole like that, you know, trying to make himself and make his sport better by trashing someone else. You know, you want your sport to be good.
How about a guy that is talking all that smack and never had a big fight in his life? The one big fight that he hyped up and sold like it was going to happen, the guy pulled out, just like he pulled out before this big event, Tito Ortiz. You know, supposedly it was Tito that pulled out because of the production issues, which I think is complete bullshit. I think the Fertitta stepped in and they said, we don't want our promoter getting hurt. So, no. Tito, you're going to make up an excuse, and Dana's going to look like the hero. So, I mean, and then for a guy to talk all that smack about boxing, and he couldn't even make it, but, you know, he was started out in boxing.
Yeah.
And he just sucked so bad, he couldn't make it work, you know?
When you said started out in boxing, you said, well, you started out as a boxer or as a boxing promoter?
No, he started out with boxing. I mean, he boxed in the gym and stuff like that. You know, I don't think he was ever had much of an amateur career or any fights at all. That's the thing. Like, he was always like a boxing gym rat, I guess, but there's no proof that he ever had a freaking fight. Never seen a video of Dana White in an actual fight.
Well, so basically the thing is, the sport that he grew up with and the sport that, you know, he started with, he's now trying to kill because it's not good, it's not exciting. His sport, what he's throwing, is so much better. You know what? Kiss my entire ass. Both cheeks, Dana. Both of them. Like I said, Rich, I told
you. You got a guy like him, and he's in charge, and he's the figurehead, and he's supposed to have all this knowledge, you know, and he makes decisions, like on The Ultimate Fighter, based on a guy running up to him outside the house and saying, I want to fight again on The Ultimate Fighter. That's how they decided that show. And the whole concept of that show, I mean, I'm just thinking about it more and more because they made the comment in this very last episode that, hey, you know, this guy's had 5 fights in 6 weeks. That shouldn't be legal anywhere, the way these guys are fighting, you know? And it just kind of makes a mockery of the sport that they're able to get away with that in Vegas, you know, just because a guy's signed a bunch of waivers probably. And,
you know what the one thing that really bothers me now? And I'm not just going to indict, you know, the way sports are going. I'm going to trash everything right now. Just the way, and I'm going to trash our youth. And I never said I would do this when I was around anywhere between 10 to 18 years old. I said, I'm going to be cool forever. And you know what? I am still cool. But I see these kids today, and I'm going to slap the shit out of 90% of them. There's a few that I can actually almost tolerate. But most of them I want to give a good slap to. And here's the reason. See, kids, they want everything so fast these days. Everything's going to be fast. I mean, you log online, you know, you can't wait 30 seconds to log on. You got to log on immediately. You know, you can't do the cool, uncool Atari graphics anymore, the Nintendo graphics. You got to have all these high-def things. Hey, it's all great. but they want everything so quick, so fast. They don't want to absorb things. They don't want to enjoy things. And that's kind of what annoys me. It's like, I can sit down and enjoy a good boxing match because I can sit down and say, okay, I see where this is exciting. I can't get into something that's only 45 seconds long. But they want the start and be over. They want the hike more than the actual fight. I've seen packages like the pre-fight packages talking about a fight. It's going to be the greatest thing ever. And this guy's talking shit and this guy's talking shit. And they're walking into the ring and they're talking shit. And then they get in the ring and it's over. It's over before it started. And like the kids these days, like they don't like to really absorb things. They don't want their mind expand anymore. I get down with a good fight and I can watch a good boxing match. One guy might start out fast, and I'll even watch a fight with my dad sometimes, because he's old school. And we were watching a fight, and I was like, hey, Dad, I bet Stone's about to throw an overhand right. He's like, you see it? I'm like, I can just see the way he's probing his jab, and he's looking for that, and boom, there it was. And he landed it, boom. And then he looked for it again, but the guy counted it. I mean, it was like a chess match, but an exciting chess match. You know, there was thinking, but there was action. And I kind of like that. That's one thing I always got out of boxing. You know, it was not, I mean, hey, most of my career, I was a brawler. You know, I came in straightforward, but I also like used to play head games out there. I'm fighting a guy. How can I beat him mentally before I beat him physically? How did I beat Michael Jordan at Lock Haven that time? I'm fighting Michael Jordan, and I knew it was his first time off post. So, I mean, I had to be smart out there. It was the first time fighting outside of VMI, not VMI, Army. And I remember the coach saying to me, this guy is coming into your house. He's going to be, oh, you're crazy fans. Get them involved early and punch him in his fucking mouth as soon as you can and get him thinking. Get him thinking to feel what that left hook is like. And then it's like, then you can break him down mentally. Before you break him physically, break him mentally.
Anytime you talk about fighting Michael Jordan, you should preface it with the guy from West Point, not the basketball player.
What?
The guy from West Point, not the basketball player. Just so everybody knows.
Yes, not the basketball player, I'm sorry.
Didn't have a throwdown with Michael Jordan on the court.
He was not the basketball player. He was a boxer out of the U.S. Military Academy, silver medalist that year. He could have lost in the semifinals. But he beat a guy named Rich Bergeron.
He was a good inside fighter. He was of the Tyson style.
He was not a good inside fighter. He's only good
inside. You never got inside with him, so you didn't find that out. But I was trying to take it easy.
Who wasn't? You didn't fight inside. I purposely fought him inside. I didn't let him come forward. I made him fight going backwards.
I never threw an uppercut in my college career. Anyway, we're fighting up some time with all this stuff, and I hate to, promote something after we just trashed the promoter there. But
I'm not letting you say it.
The sport itself, you know, I still approve, even though I don't like the promoter of it. The main part of it. Anyway, he's not the promoter of the whole sport. Nobody is really. But anyway, this is a pretty stacked card. You know, some pretty interesting competition. It's kind of funny you mentioned the hype and stuff like that because, you know, you had all the hype of, you know, this is the Ultimate Fighter finale. It's supposed to be Chuck Liddell versus Tito Ortiz. Now you got it's Rich Franklin versus Chuck Liddell. And even Chuck goes, you know, now I got to go to a guy I wanted to punch in the mouth to somebody who's the nicest guy in the game. But I'll still park him up, you know, basically. We'll see. I don't know. It's Chuck Liddell's redemption fight. He's really got a lot to prove here that he's still there. Or still.
Hasn't he been knocked down like 12 straight fights or something?
No, but he's had some rough fights. He had that one fight where he beat Wanderlei Silva, but he's had some rough fights his last few fights to the point where Dana was just like, you know, you should retire. And he wants to retire. And Rich Franklin's won a couple close fights, but he's had rough fights the last few times. And his nemesis, of course, is Anderson Silva. Beat him up, probably the worst he's ever had a beat in his life. All times he's fought him, he just got ruined. We got Mirko Krokop, another guy who's probably, you know, being told he should retire soon. And keeps having some rough fights. He's fighting a guy, Pat Barry, who's pretty new to the sport at 5-1. But Franklin and Liddell are journeymen. Liddell's 21-7 at 205. Franklin is weighing $195, and both around 6 feet. Franklin is 27-5 with one no contest. So that's a pretty decent matchup there. Krokop is 26-7. And we got Paulo Thiago versus Martin Campman. Ben Rothwell versus Gilbert Avell. Rothwell versus Avell, that's a guy. That's a combined 75 fights right there. 75 MMA fights between the two of them.
Wow.
6'2 against 6'4, 265 against 225. So that's going to be heavyweight smacking each other around good. You could get a three-rounder out of them, I think. Big bombs. Anyway, then there's some lightweights. Carlos Condit versus Rory McDonald, the water boy. It's Rory McDonald, nickname. Tyson Griffin versus Evan Dunham. Mac Danzig versus Matt Wyman. David DeCroloiso coming back versus Mario Miranda. Let's see. James Wilkes versus Peter Sabata. Ricardo Funch versus Claude Patrick. And Mike Pyle versus Jesse Lennox. And I just kind of scanned through BoxRec before we get our first guest on. I wanted to mention one fight that I don't even know if you know about. 12-round heavyweight fight from Hollywood, Florida next Tuesday. Oliver McCall versus...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It brought him off.
Sultan Ibrahimov, did you say?
Timur.
Yeah, that ought to be, I'm doing a little Dr. Evil hand quotes. Interesting. Let me, before we get our guests on the phone, let the tornado talk right now in a very unprofane type of way. I got a few things that I want to go over. First of all, I'm going to go over the title fight from your home away from home, Yankee Stadium, last week. I know how much you love the Yanks. So, it was Miguel Cotto versus Yuri Foreman. I didn't get to see it until later. And Cotto was boxing very well. I know Foreman's not a puncher. He's not a threat of a guy that's going to knock you out or, you know, hurt you. But he's got good movement. And it's a lot of people were, you know, thinking he might beat Cotto just because of his movement and not knowing what Cotto had left. Well, Cotto looked pretty good. He looked physical at 154. He looked strong, and then an unfortunate event happened. Foreman slipped in the seventh round, and he wears a knee brace anyway, and his knee buckled bad. And he got up, and you could tell he was really in a lot of pain. Now, from a guy that's based off of movement, and now he can't move, he was really in trouble. And you see a towel come to throw it in the eighth round, and which they don't know if it was from the corner or who threw it in, but... the referee, which is Arthur McCaney Jr., said, no, we're not stopping the fight like this. He goes, the guy's a warrior. Let him finish. And a round later, Cotto finally put him down with a body shot. And as soon as he hit the ground, McCaney finally decided it was a good move to stop it. It was a pretty one-sided beating. Cotto was well ahead on the cards. So there was no chance Foreman will come back with two good knees, much less one. So Cotto... wins Foreman's 154-pound title. Now, what I didn't understand afterwards was someone was talking to me, and I don't know where they heard this, but if Pacquiao decided to move up to get another title belt, which was, I think, something like his seventh or eighth weight class, something ridiculous like that, he would target Cotto. But how would you sell that fight as one-sided as their first fight was, which was only 6 months ago? They would be like, yeah, well, Cotto moved up a weight class. It's like, yeah, big deal. He took a hell of a beating in that first fight. And he only won like 182 rounds. He took a tremendous amount of punishment. So I can't see them selling that fight. The other fight that they talked about, a possibility for Cotto, would be a rematch with Margarito. Now, that would be a good chance for Cota to redeem that loss, especially, you know, if, you know, Margarita comes in there with the undoctored hand wraps, which we have no proof were even doctored for the first fight. But somebody made a very good point about that. Is Margarita deserving of getting an opportunity like that? He's lucky to be fighting right now. Should he be getting the opportunity to fight a world title fight for over, you know, $1 million paycheck after what he's done and after how he basically disgraced himself on the sport? I don't know. I can't agree that he would get that.
Even with that aside, he hasn't fought anybody of any credibility in how long?
Since Mosley, and he got his clock cleaned.
Right, so fuck that.
Yeah, I know what that. If they want to put a good fight together, a Cotto Mosley rematch might be interesting, even though Mosley lost that fight to Mayweather. That would be interesting. What's his face? It'd just be Kelly Pavlik. Sergio Martinez, he's still got, you know, he hasn't fought anybody yet. He's still got that middleweight title. But I think he wants to find out what's going to happen with Pacquiao and Mayweather. And if that fight doesn't happen, he's going to try to want to present himself as a viable alternative. He's a very good fighter. So, we got a lot
boxing,
going on.
You know, slipping in the non-traditional boxing slipping sense of the word. Right. So, up with that. You get the Citron falling apart through the ropes. and then now this. What is going on with the slippage in the ring?
Yeah, well, I mean, you got all these logos. You get water on those logos in the ring. That's like, you know, slip and slide out there.
Yeah, there was a problem at an outdoor venue we did in Brockton here. I mean, not we, but I went to that Cage FX put on. The mat got so slippery at the end that a kid busted his leg before they even really had contact in the last fight. So they had to call the whole show off.
That's not.
You know, changed at one point at night, and it just, you know, just was making the ring sweat, the cage floor sweat. It's unbelievable.
You want to hear the absolute worst way to lose a fight, though?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this counted as an official loss. I mean, it was like, it might have even been an amateur show, or maybe it was like a four-round pro fight. I don't think I ever saw it, I just heard about it. But a guy gets to the ring, young kid, you know, he's all pumped up, he's all excited, and he tries to do an imitation of Marvin Hagler and punch himself in the face, and he broke his nose, and he couldn't fight.
Talk about
yeah,
beating yourself.
Yeah, talk about beating the shit out of yourself, really. There is another fight I wanted to recap, only because the Tornado runs his impressive win-loss record again. Oh, TV, hold on. I gap it, I think, never mind. The Tornado improved his wonderful win-loss record again. And before I give a recap of the fight, I promise I'll give a shout-out to my buddy, the little Tasmanian Devil, Double T, out there. She's not listening tonight. She just texted me. But she said to give her a shout-out or she'll catch us on the archives. The fight down Atlantic City last week, which I was not able to make, between my boy Chuck Masaccio and Tony Ferrante. And as you remember on the show, I said it would be Chuck's boxing skills from the outside that would be the difference. I said either towards a decision or possibly depending on how, you know, Ferrante's eyes held up, possibly around stoppage. Well, it did go the 10 rounds, and Chuck won a unanimous decision by scores of 98-92, 96-94, 97-93. So I only saw some of the photos.
Does he retain the Machismo belt in addition to?
Yes, he retained whatever cool belt that he had. He still got that around his waist.
Now he's got a new one, right?
Didn't
he have an
Afro belt? It was for something. I remember we were talking about it. It was for
a new belt. Well, that's
just going to have to be. If I could get online right now, I'd go on BoxRec right now, but I can't.
We don't have time for box right because we have to get on the first guests here who have a very interesting show.
I just want you to admit that the boxing rain man got another one right.
All right. Well, Professor got another one right too. Masaccio.
Yes.
And, that's good to hear. I'd like to see that happen. And your other boy, Hank Lundy, has a fight coming up here pretty
soon. I see that. That's going to be on ESPN.
Yeah, you might have to come up to Rhode Island for that one. It's going to be in Twin River. Take the bus. Maybe I'll go. I don't know. That might be worth it. It sounds like a good fight. But that's in the future. There's actually not that whole heck of a lot much going on BoxRec. I looked at the schedule, unfortunately. That's not much going on other than that one fight that I mentioned. I mean, of course, there's other stuff. But anyway, I do want to get these guests on because we have Rich Antonito in the second hour that we're going to patch these folks in with. But this is going to be Lyle Howery, who's the producer of Ultimate Women Challenge, and Angela Magana, who's a 110-pound fighter who's going to be on the show. We're going to end both at the same time. This works. Let's go Skype. Is a pretty mean fighter. I checked out one video of one of her fights on the website, and she's pretty good, especially for that weight. She throws down like a heavyweight. Try to call him Lyle first. Lyle Howery, he's the creator of the show. Tony, you still there?
Of course I'm still here. Where would I be?
I'm trying to figure this out here. It's not being friendly.
It's called a phone. You dial numbers.
I know, but it won't let me call them without putting you on hold. Okay, that's not usually what it does. Bear with us, folks. We're just having some Skype technical difficulties.
It's been a long time since we had technical difficulties. I thought we were passing our things.
Usually it's a lot worse, not just a delay. Cancel. All right, here we go. Here we go. Now we're talking. And file.
Hello.
File.
Yes.
Hey, this is Ramble Rouse and Rich Bergeron. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. We have Tony, the Tornado Pentacal, on the line also.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
And we're just trying to smooth out some technical difficulties there. I was having trouble getting the Skype number in there. But we're going to connect with Angela. Is it Magana? Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, Magana. Yeah, that's her name.
Get her on too, and tell us a little bit about the show before we get her on.
Well, I mean, it's the first of its kind. It's obviously got a pretty major network, syndicated network deal that's never been done in the MMA world anyway, except for Strike Force, which is mainly men driven, you know what I'm saying? Mine is not men driven. It's basically focuses on all the women in the fight world. And it's taken me probably about a good year and a half to really move it forward. We had our stumbles with talent being booked on different channels and TV, some of the celebrity people in it. And so we had to, you know, push the production up. And, you know, you run into that stuff in TV anyway. So anytime you're doing a major deal, and we own our deal, so it's a little different than a license deal with the network, you know what I mean? So... We're going to be coming out to about 50 million households nationwide. We're going to be doing, I can't tell you a whole lot about the show other than it's going to be a complete different spin on MMA and mixed martial arts. It will make the women and men look really good in a whole different picture, giving the MMA world a positive spin instead of a negative spin. We'll possibly bring more... viewers to the sport, you know. So, I mean, in a nutshell, it's going to give the girls a money reward and a contract with the major fight league.
All
at
right.
The end of the day.
So, has it already been filmed and, you know, put in the can?
No. We're in pre-production right now. We're locking the last of our sponsors, the big ones, and we're going to probably start shooting physically in about. Well, obviously, we're going to be building the sets and stuff, but physically, I would say our target's in the next couple of weeks.
Awesome. Well,
yeah.
I'm going to have actually another guest coming on in the 9 o'clock hour that you guys are welcome to pick his brain. It's going to be Rich Antonito from the Ultimate Fighter. And
yeah.
If you guys want to stay on the call, we can patch him in, and you guys can kind of pick his brain about reality shows.
That's cool. I have actually another meeting after this. I mean, I'm in a constant, not to be rude, but I'm in constant meetings on, I have four different television shows going on, so it's hectic for me.
Lucky
but
you.
Angela is more than welcome to do it. I mean, you know, if she wants.
All right. Well, we're going to patch her in right now.
Sure.
And we're actually at Fight News Unlimited, a big champion of women combat sports period, you know, boxing.
That's awesome. Well, this is going to take it to a whole different level, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope so. Glad to see it.
Well, I mean, the whole purpose is, you know, when the Ultimate started, Ultimate Fighter started off.
Angela, hi,
yeah.
This is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. We have also Tony the Tornado Pedicale on the line with us from Philly.
Yo, what's up?
What's up?
He's our boxing analyst guy, so if you have any boxing-related stories, we'd love to hear those.
Yeah, I have a good question. How well does that Philly Shell work in MMA?
Philly Shell work in MMA?
Yeah.
Not something I would particularly use. Philly Shell, I actually use it in boxing sometimes. I mean, I believe I'm more of like an aggressive fighter, so when I first started, I did with the traditional, you know, hands up with hands held high, and he's always trying to, you know, just come straight in. And then I kind of found out, because I was still getting hit a lot, I was with my hands up. Well, I realized the Philly Shell, even though you drop, like, your lead hand, you dip your shoulder, it works well because a lot of times the guy will throw a punch, roll off your shoulder where you can roll back on it and counter. That's all. I hurt my shoulder about 10 years ago. And I couldn't hold it up all the time, so I started really shelling it. But for MMA, if someone's going for a takedown on you, not the best defense.
The hip, yeah, the hip is
it's more of a counter-punching type of my style.
Have you seen anybody really use it in MMA?
Rich, have you seen anybody use it in MMA?
Tony is like strictly the fringes of MMA. If something's on the fringes, he'll hear about it. If he doesn't watch it, he's begrudgingly accepts it sometimes.
Rich, sometimes I just won't really accept you.
Yeah.
You said that means
I don't know. The Philly shell is not something I'm really familiar with, you know, except for when I used it with a boxer on the game there that it was on. Fight Night, I think, they had it on that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what it exactly involves. But I'm a big fan of just the jab, you know. I like a good lead jab and mixing of a power jab and a quick jab. Because that's the best defense in boxing. And I used to actually go to parties because I was so good with my jab, and I'd say, I'll box you one-handed. You know, the biggest guy in the room.
Yeah.
And have a good jab, so.
Well, a lot of boxers have a good jab because they hurt their right hand, and then when they get to keep training, all they have is a jab, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Uriah Faber broke his hand in that one fight. Still did him, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know, we have got Lyle on the line here as well, and, you know, we just kind of wanted to hype up the show, so just kind of cool. Talk about that a little bit if you want to, and what that experience is like getting involved in.
Well, hi, Lyle.
Hi, Ant, how you doing?
Good. You said I'm teaching some girls how to kickbox.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go into another meeting, but go ahead and talk about the show a little if you'd like. I mean, Angela's pretty much been with us from the get-go, and she's a tough girl, and I think she's going to do well. I mean, you know, we have 16 really great fighters, and Angela is one of them, and she's a tough girl, very good at what she does. So I'm excited to see everything go forward and see what everybody can do, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm excited.
And before you go, Lyle, just tell us about some of the stuff leading up to this and how you got it all knitted together and the stars involved with the thing and everything.
I mean, I've been in the fight TV and film business for 25 years, obviously. But, I mean, I always just, you know, I used to film a lot of shows in Vegas, traditional because my sons were into it. And basically, that's how I got into getting into filming mixed martial arts and martial arts, was I followed my sons around and I saw an avenue to where a lot of people weren't professionally filming the events or the shows at the big casinos. So what I did was I went ahead and financed quite a few fight shows from, I think, 1998 till about 2006, or five, I should say. And then I decided to kind of get out of that because really the American market, for some reason, or the American world, they don't really get into watching traditional martial arts competitions on TV. It just doesn't sell. And I hate to say that because it's a great sport and it's great to watch in person, but people won't tune into it. You know what I mean? It's just it's something that people go to live. It's almost the same as Muay Thai, which is really a great fight sport, but for some reason it never takes off television-wise, you know what I mean? So with MMA being as big as it is now, I used to film a lot of women. In fact, I've been filming Angela Hayes for years. Gosh, I don't even know how many years, but quite a few years. So I know, you know, quite a few of the girls in the fight world. Obviously not all of them, and there's probably a lot I don't know, but what I did was I decided that because I liked the women fighting so much and to watch them fight, because they were really interesting to watch, was to create a show that basically gave them a fairer chance to compete in the man's world, okay, without exploiting them or you know, anything else in that line and giving them the same fight time frames and everything else so that, you know,
some of the men couldn't come back and say, well, you guys only fight three rounds. You don't even compare to us. Well, no, all these girls are fighting five-minute rounds. And let me tell you something. They're pretty tough, and they're all in great shape. And they're all
I've had 13 professional fights, and I've never fought a three-minute round. I fought 5 minutes. Even when I was in Philadelphia, or Pittsburgh, the commissioner, who's like God, who you don't argue with, was like, they're three-minute rounds in Vegas. I said, I fought in Vegas twice. They are not three-minute rounds. They're five-minute rounds. And and the commissioner came back to me that night of the fight before I fought, and he was like, I had talked to the main commission, and they said, give that little bitch whatever she wants. And so now that's the standard in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia, or in Pennsylvania, is five-minute rounds.
Wow.
That's funny. Yeah, but I mean, you know what I'm saying, Angela, where in the past it was 3 minute rounds, and then
even
and then we started. Yeah, and then I started the show about a year ago, a little over a year ago, a year and a half, and started moving forward with it and changing out. So, the MMA world was a completely new world for me because I'm not an MMA pro, I'm not a promoter. So I had to depend on a lot of talk and education from a lot of people in it, whether right or wrong. I learned the right way in some ways and the wrong way in some ways. So now I pretty much have really great people behind me. We've sorted out a few of the girls that we couldn't go with. And everything now, there's a big positive spin, and we're looking forward to getting into filming here pretty quick. And we've been in pre-production. We've revamped the website. It's pretty cool now. Got some info on the girls, video and all that stuff. It'll be even better here in a couple more weeks. But, for the most part, for me, go ahead, Ann.
So sorry to interrupt. I was just really curious. Are we going to have 3 minutes or 5 minute rounds? Because Commissioner in California tried saying that it was only 3 minute rounds, but like my lawyer.
I can't really get into that. To tell you the truth, Angela, because this is a TV show. You got to understand, and what people get this whole thing wrong is, this is not a pro fight, okay? It's not in the ring. It's not a promoter's fight. This is a TV show. Just like, Ultimate Fighter's a TV show, although they're a little different. They are a fight organization. We are not a fight organization, nor am I a promoter. So the best answer I can give you to that is this is a fight show. We are hiring you girls to be on the show as in a reality show, okay? And that's how I have to word it legally, and that's how it's got to be. As far as all the commission stuff and all that stuff goes, my lawyers and the people in the set deal with that, and we know how to deal with that. And yes, there is going to be a commission coming on, but it's at a certain time. And that's all I can say. I mean, I can't really get into the details without giving a lot away,
We want answers. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just glad it's not Florida. State boxing committee.
It would have been okay in Florida. I mean, we dealt with the guy there. He's an okay guy. I mean, the problem in the fight world is, you guys know, everybody's got egos in the fight world. I have no ego.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a TV guy, and every fighter is the best fighter, and every promoter is the best promoter. I'm learning this stuff, okay? I'm learning this stuff as I go. It's a funny world to me because I am biased. I just kind of learn as I go, and I'm not on anybody's side, and I don't take favorites. And to me, I just want to put out the best product I can and put
that's
a
good.
Different
that's good.
Positive light on the women and men of MMA. And without stepping on anybody's toes, and that's basically what I'm trying to do.
Well,
that's
as
good.
Far as the concept goes, I would say it's going to be a hell of a lot more interesting than one of those shows like Wife Swap or something.
Well, you guys, I can't get into the concept. I can't really get into the whole concept of it, but I can tell you this: you guys will sit there in awe when you see what we've done. I've hired. And it's not a scripted show, by the way, but I hired some of the best show writers to write the setup for the show, okay? So, and when I talk some of the best show writers, I'm talking they've done some of the biggest TV shows on TV that are out there. So,
yeah.
This, I haven't
I've spent an enormous amount of money to make this happen for these girls and everybody else. And people don't see that. Everybody's anxious to start. Everybody in the media wants to bash you if you're pushed forward. But let them start cutting the checks that I've cut for a year and a half and buying my airing deal, which is a prime time deal twice a week on NBC's syndicated channels, and see, and then pay for big producers and run teams and stuff like that before you even film, and see, then they can talk. Before then, they don't have a clue what's going on, because all they're going on is rumors, and rumors are nothing. They mean zero. Okay.
Well, what's worse than people talking about you? People not talking about you. So there you
well,
go.
You know what, so I'm not in the world of I don't really care. I'm not a fighter. I'm not a promoter. Good media and bad media is all good in anything you do. So for me, I don't really care. I just sit back and laugh because I'm like, okay, well, I can't wait till we really come out with this thing and then the press comes out in the correct way and things like that. I mean, even for this radio interview, it's premature because I really didn't want to do any interviews, but I did for Angela because she's a great girl and a great fighter and I wanted to help her out. But I'm keeping really low-key on what I'm doing, and there's a reason for it.
So. Well, we only get 50,000 hits a day, so don't worry about it.
That's all right. I mean, every single person is somebody, and it's a new fan or a fan, hopefully. That's the way I look at it. I don't care if it's 60,000 or 5,000 or, you know, 60 million like we have on TV, hopefully. So, you know, it's all good for me, and I'm really happy to be affiliated with anybody that is into this sport that's positive on a positive spin. And because that's what really, guys, that's what it has to be. I mean, MMA and the fight world gets a lot of negative and bad vibe. And hopefully from this show, we're going to take a whole different turn on that and show people what a great vibe it is and really show them how great some of these people are. So, you know, without giving you the show and giving you too much, we're doing that, hopefully. Yeah?
It's a lot better than boxing.
Well, I mean, I love boxing. I love boxing. Don't get me wrong. I just think that boxing is at a spot right now where I think, and by the way, I know about as much as what's in a thimble about the sport, but I love boxing. I've been a boxing fan my whole life. I was a boxer at one time, no pro guy or nothing, but they got into playing big currencies, and now it's to the time to where the, you know, MMA and UFC fighters are working, you know, fighting for not a whole lot of money, it's more interesting to watch than boxing. I hate to say that. I love to watch boxing. It's great to watch, but I think I don't know. I don't know what's there. I don't know, you know, why it's happening like that. You know, it's not as big as it used to be. Obviously, and everybody knows that, right? I mean, you know.
Well, it is, but just not here in the United States. So you get that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, MMA is that whole exponentially growing sport, fastest growing sport.
Yeah.
That might not be true anymore. It's still growing. It's not that explosive anymore, but it is big in the United States. The thing about boxing is its strength is worldwide. People around the world who are traditional boxing people, and especially in Europe. That's why all these champions are coming from Europe and Russia. They love that boxing, and they're never going to leave tonight. So you have that effect where MMA hasn't quite got there yet. You know, you just certain towns and parts of the world where people probably never even heard of MMA and they don't want it there.
Well, you don't have any arguments for me because I know, like I said, I know about as much as in a P about everything. So, I mean, I'm a TV film guy and I don't mind saying, hey, I don't know it all. So, and I don't
that's
know
just
it
where
all.
The money comes too, you know? That's why there's so much more money in boxing. And MMA, people forget, is still a very new sport in the mix of things. You know, there's still a lot to learn. There's still.
That's right. Well, I think
it's to make it happen. I mean, look, you got a guy like Donald Trump who lost his shirt investing in MMA.
So and at the end of the day, you only have a couple of real power hitter people that kind of control that world, right? I mean, without mentioning names, I mean, I think that there's, you know, you have some heavy hitters in the MMA world and UFC world that kind of dominate that whole inner circle. You know, I mean.
for right now. I mean, I don't know what the future holds or how it'll break up or how it won't break up or people will come out. And I mean, I see more and more fight leagues forming. How long they last, I don't know. You know, I don't know that will.
Yeah, there's certain ones that have had the strength, you know, that they're scattered everywhere, too. And you don't hear as much about them in the big press, but, every time I do the event list, they're always on it. You know, they get something going somewhere. And actually, one of the best first interviews I did working as a reporter for Fight News Unlimited was with the King of the Cage guy. His name is James Lee. And just an old school guy in MMA. There's a lot of fighters in that league that just have been around forever. They've fought a ton of guys, and they're still going. So
It's all very political, though. You know quite a bit.
And just to let you guys know, that's kind of why, and one of the reasons why I got into the whole women's world too, because I didn't really want to go toe to toe with any big, fight promoters and things that are going on where a lot of people are focused on. You know, I mean, what I've done is hopefully going to be a history breaking and making thing for women, and they need it. I mean, they really
not,
need it.
Not hopefully, Lyle. It will be.
Well, I'm sure it will be, but, I don't like to jinx anything. You know, I like to kind of sit back a little bit. You know, it's kind of like the old cow and the young cow going down the hill, you know, guys? It's like, I take my time. I let one foot go in front of the other and take my time and see what happens and hopefully conquer it all instead of just one, right? So.
Well, I believe thoughts become things, and I visualize and I predict the future.
Angela, you've seen how big we've gotten and how much we've gone forward, and I mean with a lot of money. So it's going to be big and it's going to be powerful. And like I said, I think that it'll be a whole different turn in MMA. Hopefully, that's the way I'm trying to structure it anyway.
Well, and girls are the best fighters. Like, every time I've ever fought, even when I've lost, besides the exception of one time, we stole the show. I get fired the night every time, even when I've lost.
I've noticed that, too. And I talked to a guy actually at the Mushin show out in Worcester, Massachusetts, this last couple weeks ago. And he said it's the same thing. He saw the best fight he ever saw, the women's fight, was a local card down in Plymouth, Massachusetts, between these two girls that just let it all out on the line. And I had the feeling watching fights like that, some of the Strike Force fights, too, that we saw really blazed the path for women in a lot of ways.
Yeah. That's the thing, girls. We don't have the egos. We want to get out there. We want to fight. We don't stand back and respect each other and feel each other out. We go at it. We bang it out from the beginning to the end.
It's been some of those great female fights that they're not just fighting for, a belt or the TV exposure or just the notch on the belt. They're fighting for the whole group of females that are representing the scene. Every female watching, every female around the world, they're showing, hey, listen.
Very empowering. I've had so many people come up to me after fights, women and husbands, and tell me, like, you inspired me, and I'm like, I'm just doing what I love. I'm living my dream. And I think it's amazing to inspire people without even, without even being my intention, just doing what I love. And I think it really makes women feel empowered. It makes them feel strong. It makes them be like, oh, this isn't a man's world, and that's the day and age that we're in. And then I think female fighters are definitely a credit to the gender.
Right.
Hey, guys, I gotta get off the phone real quick because I have to get into this other meeting, but I really enjoyed being on the phone and trying to at least answer a few questions for you. All I can say is we are coming out in September, third week of September. That is our airing date. I can't give you the exact date because I got to keep that down on the low, but it is third week, fall season. And we will be in every major city there is on NBC, on the syndicated channels on Saturdays and Sundays. So you can look in your listings and you'll find us.
Awesome.
Okay. Angela, you can take it over from here.
Okay.
And Angela, I don't know.
All righty, guys.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, see you later.
Bye, Lyle. Have a good night.
Bye.
Angela, I don't know how much time you have, but we also have in the second hour of the show, we've got another reality show contestant from The Ultimate Fighter, and his name is Rich Attenito. Didn't really get too many fights, but he did get to stay for the whole show, so if you want to stay on for that and pick his brain
about
being a reality contestant, you can do that if you have some time.
Okay.
But I'm just kind of curious about how you got into fighting and, you know, your background and all that. And I just wanted to give you a little bit more time to chat about yourself, seeing as we had the share you there with Lyle.
How I started. Well, I used to watch, like, Kickboxer and Bloodsport. Like, those were my favorite movies growing up as a child. And I knew I always wanted to do full contact. And then, like, in junior high, I started boxing, which was the closest thing I could get to full contact. And then I was on the wrestling team in junior high and high school. So really, that's like the beginning of MMA. I was about 13 years old, and I had my first boxing match, and I started wrestling. And then I met my coach, who is Floyd Sword, who's a UFC veteran, who's currently my coach, when I was about 15. And I started training MMA with him. And then the boxing gym I was at, they actually kicked me out. I was like, I didn't have a car. It was freezing cold. I didn't have a jacket. I didn't even have a quarter to call anybody. They kicked me out of my gym because I was training with him. And I've never looked back. And that's something that we hid along for a long time. And with my history, when people would ask stuff, they'd be like, how long have you been training? And I'd say 2 years. You know, but honestly, I've been training, I'm going to be 27. Holy crap. Almost 14 years I've been training off and on. I've had a kid, gotten my degree, you know, done a lot of stuff in between.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's just like, and that's the thing, is I'm very high energy, kind of ADD type of person. And MMA is the only thing that has kept my attention. I was in cross country, fast pitch, skateboarding, wakeboarding, snowboarding, rock climbing. And it's the only thing that I could learn something new every single day.
Yeah, actually, I had a friend in college who had ADD, and he used to snort his Ritalin because he was in the boxing team. He'd snort a Ritalin before a fight. I joked with him that the last event he came down for, he lives in New Hampshire, he came down to an event in Boston here that was amateur boxing. And we were talking to somebody at the bar, and I said, you know what the line I used to give to this guy was all the time? Or he used to give to me when I was the ref? He'd yell, plug it up, Richie, plug it up. He had a bloody nose when it was white. He shall repeat. It's not a good thing, but anyway, yeah, I used to coach boxing up at college, and we used to do Friday night fights on campus, so we got.
Oh, yeah, back in the day. I'm still active. Like, I'll go wrestle with the boys at high school, this year will be my 50s, and I referee high school and junior high collegiate wrestling.
Awesome. Actually, that's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because one of the reasons why Fight News Unlimited is so friendly to the female combat sports participants, and just, you know, everything female and mixed martial arts, boxing, and anything to do with male and female persona, people in the sport. But with this particular slant with the female fighters, we started, with like the ceiling for that, because when I went through the wrestling program at my high school, we had the first girl who ever wrestled in the state of Massachusetts on our team. And I watched her go to every practice. You know, she was one of those girls who didn't care. She had pink hair, did the whole thing. She just was going to do it, and she did it. And she went through the whole program, and she was the first one to ever wrestle for Harvard. And,
wow.
I'll never forget the first guy she beat in a JV match, and nobody was there really watching her except for the team, her team, and obviously us and the other guy's team. And the guy who lost, we had been to practices with them, and he was always, 10 yards behind the pack, and they used to always get crap, and then he goes and wrestles this girl and gets beat her first win And, man, I just remember thinking, now he's really going to get it.
Did he cry? I see a lot of the boys cry. No, I'm serious, though. I'd say 75% of the times when girls win wrestling matches, the boys start crying. And the thing about wrestling your girl, like, I literally had a boy quit school when I beat it, because when you wrestle a girl, if you beat him, it's just a girl. But if she beats you, you know, you better leave town. There's no way you can ever win wrestling a girl.
Right. Well, actually, it's kind of funny that you mention that, because there's a story circulating this week about a guy named Nick Newell. And he has one arm, and he is a professional MMA fighter and has a missing hand on one of his arms. But he's 3-0 in professional MMA, and nobody wants to fight the guy with one arm.
I got one.
Yeah, it's amazing. They got pictures of him putting the chokehold on somebody with the one arm.
I got one for you guys. I got one. I think you guys will enjoy it. Bruce, I think I told you this before. Back in, I think it was around like 1996, I was fighting an amateur card up in New York. Remember, Rich, we had Steve McQuinto on the show just a few months ago?
Right.
It was one of the shows he put together up in State University of New York at Westchester. And I think I told you this. We were going up there, and we had a wicked, wicked windstorm that day. I mean, it was bad. And so we're driving up there. We're going across the Tappan Zee Bridge. And, you know, we're like, oh, shit, are we going to get across this bridge? Well, we did. And my opponent was about 10 minutes behind me. They didn't make it over. And several of the other teams that were coming to the show didn't make it. Like Mansfield University didn't make it. And so this show was going to be mixed. It was going to have some college fights on there. Then it was going to have some regular amateur fights on there. So they tapped me into boxing a kid for my own team at Lock Haven. We just fought an exhibition. Good fight, you know. I was a little bit bigger. I outweighed him by about like 15 pounds, maybe. Yeah, about 15 pounds. I ended up, we just fought through draw, really. You know, it was a good fight, good exhibition. But this one young kid walks in, you know. He walks in, and he's kind of slender, had tattoos on his arms, you know, had like, you know, like, the mustache on, where, you know, look like he just came off like a farm somewhere, you know, he had like a mustache with a little beard and everything, long hair, and he walks in and he's like, kick somebody's ass. He said, oh, look at this guy. Well, the only other person at around 130-some pounds was a girl named Denise Luttrell. Denise ended up being a very good professional fighter. Well, the only person that could put this kid in there was with Denise Luttrell. So, and Denise was at a higher skill level, and she's actually beating the shit out of this guy for 3 rounds. And everybody in the crowd is kind of snickering because he's getting his ass whooped by a girl. And then he uncorks her right hand, and he knocks her down. More of a flash knockdown than anything, but he knocked her down against the ropes. Everybody booed him. But like, you're right. You can't win. Because you're getting your ass kicked by a girl, or you are beating a girl. What the hell is that?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't really
need much.
Yeah, it's not fair. But I don't know. You know, men really are a stronger species than women, but we're way more technical.
Not when it comes to sit-ups. From what I always remember, being a military school guy, the women always had to do more sit-ups than the men in the PT test.
I think it's bullshit that the PT tests are different for the women than they are for the men. I think the women should do just the same as the men, pull-ups, everything.
Oh, yeah. In some things, I guess, well, they like that idea, and some things they don't.
I don't. I'll do it just as the men, even better.
Well, you're definitely a tough individual, from what I heard. Just, you know, reading a little bit into your background, it seems like that every girl on the show, or woman on the show, being Ultimate Women Challenge, is just the same type of go-getter. So what do you think about being involved in that?
Oh, I think it's great. I'm honored, you know, to be able to be in this show. And to be able to bring light to women's MMA, you know, to be the pioneers, we're you know. I'm honored. I'm lucky. I'm grateful for it, you know.
All right. Well, it feels like we're just getting started, but we got to add Rich if you want to stay on for that.
Yeah, I will. I'll ask him a couple questions.
All right. Maybe we can pick his brain. I don't know. He's allowed to reveal too much. Obviously, he's on a confidentiality agreement.
Hello.
Rich, how's it going?
Yes. What's up, man?
This is Rabble Rousing Rich. And we got Tony the Tornado on the line. He's excited that your nickname is the Raging Bull.
Right, nice.
We also have Angela Magana, who's going to be on another reality show, the Ultimate Women Challenge. And she's going to pick up a little bit about reality show experience. So.
Sounds good. What show is this again? So I can put it. I'm gonna post it to my Facebook.
Oh, look at that!
They can find it on ultimatewomenchallenge.com, and it's going to be on NBC in September.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Rich, I got a lot of questions for you just from watching the show myself. A little behind the times here today. I tried to watch the very last episode today, but it's on a site that only gives you 72 minutes, so I didn't see the last 5 minutes. But I've seen every other episode all the way to the end, and it's kind of funny there with the last episode. I noticed that with the big drama in the house with that Jaeger, pushing everybody's buttons, you were like the only guy that could deal with it on a level where you just
you grow up in North Jersey, New York City area, you get used to loud mouths, so it's just a matter of you allow people to do to you whatever you let them, so if you're gonna let them get under your skin, that's exactly what's gonna happen. And these guys got sucked in by him, and it's not my personality. For me to get so drawn in by a person, and unless they really disrespect me,
Right. And we've actually seen some fights on previous Ultimate Fighters, and it was a surprise to me that we were going to really see some outside the cage fights in this one, as much as we thought we were going to with the setups on some of the episodes. But
where I come from, if somebody gets in your face, you pretty much got two options, either shove them or punch them. So I was surprised, obviously there's a lot on the line with the show, so you don't want to get in trouble, so that kind of keeps everybody in check. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure people, would have definitely punched each other in the face. It was, out on the street or something like that. But, that drama you guys saw on the show last night at the end there, that was the last day of the show. It was the last day of the taping. It was, that morning, everybody was at the house, and then in the afternoon was the semifinal fights. They did both fights in the same day at the end, and then after those fights, we were done. The show was cut, and everything was finished. We went back to the house, had already pretty much packed our stuff up, finally got our phones back, did our exit interviews, and we left. So it was funny that people were having such meltdowns on the last day. that was another part. That was another part that was bizarre.
Yeah, that's amazing. And one of the things that obviously is pretty interesting about the finale here is they had the change of fighters. And what was that like to see? And then to see that whole team of not only Rich Franklin, but he brought the whole team of guys in with him.
Yeah, what happened with Tio, was kind of a surprise, and then, before you knew it, he was out of there, and, you wondered who were they going to bring in, and then, Dana, like you said, man, he definitely, wanted to make it up to the guys, and he brought in, great coaches.
What was the last day of film? I know you guys have a big confidentiality contract,
you're greater
than ours, but what was the last, can you say what was the actual last day of
summon? I think it ended March 2nd, I think it was. It was a Tuesday. I think it was March 2nd. Maybe it was the final day of taping.
And,
when did all the drama with Tito happen?
That happened within the last week.
Oh, wow.
After, I forget which fight it was, but, you know, we heard, you know, they played it in sequence whenever, you know, that that fight where Dana told Chuck that Tito wasn't going to be fighting. But that happened, it seemed like, I think it was like the last week, it was about a week, you know.
And I know from wrestling, from my background in wrestling, I had a little bit of time where I busted my shoulder and I had to sit on the sidelines and watch everybody to practice and everything and get the looks and stuff. Was that rough, you know, not being able to fight and do much with the busted hand?
It was horrible, man. I mean, it was, you know, unfortunately for me, that's not the first time that I've been sidelined with an injury and had to watch entire seasons take place in front of me. I remember in, I wrestled in college, and twice I had to get surgery on my elbow one time and on my shoulder another time. And this is, it's not easy ever to sit back when you want to be competing and feel like you, you put a lot of time in and that you're ready to go, show everybody what you got, and then you get sidelined with an injury. Something that I dealt with before in the past, and to have it happen to me on the show.
I bet that gave you a perspective of, you know, the fly in the wall that not everybody was able to get, because, you know, you had to be intense and all the time. I bet you got to.
You think Joe Silva do you think he'll potentially be able to fight on the UFC, even though you were injured and not able to come finish the show?
Yeah, you got to stay up to date with all the, with UFC.com, they announced all the fights for today.
Okay. I'm kind of out of
the card. Are you saying you're on the card?
I'm on the card.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, good job.
Yeah, I'm fighting on the card. I'm fighting Jamie Yeager.
Nice.
Ha-ha, yeah. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much, yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be, I appreciate it. It's going to be on, Spike TV. It's going to be on a live show.
Spike TV.
You would definitely get an opportunity, you know, if they could give you one, because, you know, if Dana White was a fighter, he would look a little bit like you.
Like who?
Like Rich.
Oh.
No, but Dana, we had a conversation earlier. Tony and I, we think Dana rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And,
yeah.
You know, I think Dana neglects to mention that he has a whole staff behind him. You know, he gets all this credit. He gets a lot of the people that you'd like to cut him down, too, you know, for no reason. But part of the reason I don't like him is just because he's never been a fighter for himself.
Yeah.
Right.
He doesn't understand a lot of those issues that people have, but... you know, I love the sport, and I love the UFC, and I love the fact that it is getting so popular, and that they can do these pay-per-view shows, take it all over the world, even when they lose money. And I think their hearts are definitely in the right place. But some of the stuff, like some of the past shows where they destroyed the house and stuff like that, you know,
right?
It's just kind of puzzling to me. And just the fact that I mentioned earlier that there's five fights that one guy had, Chris McCrary, I think, five fights in weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to go through that?
It's grueling to get there. I mean, he's like the marathon man, you know, to put five fights in like that was definitely a pretty unbelievable feat for him to be able to survive all that and get to the finale.
Especially because the dueling coaches are trying to set you up in a mismatch all the time.
Yeah, they're always trying to. Well, they're always trying to get the matchup, you know, that they feel will favor the guy. So, you know, but the thing is, you know, if you're gonna win the thing, you might as well bank on having to pretty much fight anybody and win, as it is. So you can't really worry about who you get matched up with, although it's gonna obviously make a difference, you know, sometimes. But you know. I think in the end, the guys who, are the best and the toughest, you know, are the most durable, for that matter, make it to the end.
Now, I know there was actually kind of like a theme of this episode, of this whole season of injured fighters and second chances.
Yeah.
you know, now that you got this opportunity to fight on a main card here on Spike TV again, what's it going to be like? I mean, obviously we know that from watching the show that if you take Jaeger to deep water, you can beat him.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, man. You know, like I said, man, you know, breaking my hand on the show and watch other guys get injured, you know, during the show as well. It's heartbreaking. I mean, you put so much time into it, and then, you know, you're there, you make this opportunity, and then you have it taken away from you by injury. It's just, you know, the feeling is kind of unexplainable unless it's happened to you. But, you
know,
to get a second chance. Yeah, you know, to get a second chance and be able to come back and fight and have the UFC and Dana White and those guys, you know, be impressed enough with what you showed them to give you another opportunity. I mean, it's, you know, that feeling also is kind of indescribable.
Well, it makes you even hungrier. I completely shattered my spine and was told I'd never walk again 2 years ago, and I fought 4 months after my injury. And, yeah, it makes you a lot hungrier when you have everything taken from you, and when you've had everything, and then you're nothing, and you can't even, it's horrible. I hate injuries, but time serves, you know, and I don't regret it, and I wouldn't take it back. I would never take it back. What happened to me, it made me stronger, and without those horrible, hard times, I'd never know how victorious I would be, you know?
Yeah, actually, I might have ended up in MMA if it wasn't for an injury. I fell off a roof up at college, and I was on the wrestling team at that point. And I had a little boxing background, but I went straight to boxing after that.
I fell off a roof, too. Three stories.
Three stories? Oh, you got me beat! Mine was only two.
You guys are hanging out on the wrong roofs.
Yeah, you don't test me up on roofs.
Yeah, I fizzle up on the roof, you know, I'm a painter now, so I do it all the time during the day. So.
I used to be a roofer, too, actually.
Oh, wow.
I never thought with tar or anything. We just had the felt. Never did the tar crap. I always did, like, the felt paper and shingles, like, brand new houses.
I'm going to get you in shape, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, carrying the bundles of shingles up on the roof, for sure.
This is a big truck tire. Take some shingles up on the roof. Get you in shape.
Rich, I have a question for you, Rich.
Yeah.
If you could do it all over again, the show, is there anything you would do differently?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question? I kind of blurred out.
Oh, I said if there was anything that you could do, if you could do anything over again, if you could do the show over again and change anything about what you did or your performance, is there anything you would change or you could do differently?
Yeah, I'd probably try to use more elbows when I was ground and pounding Casey. Maybe try to save my hand. I don't know. That's about it.
Did you hear what happened to Casey after the filming when he got attacked by a bunch of pit bulls?
I did. I actually saw Casey when we went to do the aftermath show, and he told me a story. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. He was showing me the pictures on his phone. Thank God he's okay. You know, I mean, if it wasn't, if it was less of a guy, then, you know, they might have died. You know, but Casey's a warrior, man. He fought off two pit bulls.
What was it? Why was he getting attacked? I mean, I breed pit bulls. I love my pit. My pit bulls are not human aggressive at all. What happened?
He might have tried to fight him too early, or maybe he was running, and they thought, you know, he was...
No, what happened, well, the story, what he told me was, you know, they were his neighbor's dog, and I think that the fence was open. The gate was open. I don't know. There was kids around or something like that. And somebody was complaining about the dogs were, I don't know if the dogs were loose or they were barking or whatever. I think they were barking and, pretty defensively, whatever. So I think he went on the side to go close the gate, figuring that, you know, he always sees the dogs, he knows them, whatever, that's fine. And when he went to go do that, I guess they came after him.
Did he get injured pretty bad? I mean,
he was bit up. I mean, one of the dogs bit him right in the junk, right in his manhood.
Yikes, I hate to laugh, you know, but I've actually been bitten in the hand by a dog that required penicillin. It's still got a scar. It was like right next to.
Yeah, I mean it's not bad. It's not good at all. I mean, you know how a shot in the nuts feels. You can imagine what it must be like to get bitten by a pickle there. So, you know, it's fortunate enough, you know, that he didn't get, you know, more seriously hurt than he did. I mean, you know, as it is, I mean, I don't think it gets a lot worse than that.
Well, anyway, I was just going to ask you if you had any advice about reality shows, period, for anybody that would be getting involved in one, like Angela's about to.
Yeah, I mean, I would say just be yourself. I definitely would kind of take a more relaxed approach to it, you know, feel it out and, you know, pace yourself because there's a lot of people who, you know, you get to see a lot of people acting, you know, in ways that you're not sure if it's genuine or not because of the situation that you're in. You know, for us as fighters, at least, we all knew what we were there for. We all had a purpose and we all, you know, we were there, you know, to compete, so it changes a little differently than, you know, regular reality shows, but, you know, I would just say just be yourself and, you know, sit back in the cut, and I don't know, I mean, it depends on the kind of person you are, I guess. I mean, if you want to be up in the camera, you know, kicking the drama with people, I mean, just prepare for the windstorm of critics once the show airs.
So I'm a three for me. I'll try to, in life, I try to act classy in every situation, you know.
Yeah, so don't get drawn into any of the BS, you know what I mean? Just be yourself. Just be yourself,
There's already a little bit of drama. I can't stand her on my couch on the show. I just can't stand her, but that's
all right. The thing is, also, you got to think sometimes, okay, when it's a competition at stake or, people are pitted against each other. Sometimes when somebody's doing something that might be getting underneath your skin, you got to stop and think, wait a second, maybe that's their entire point, you know? You start getting aggravated by the way somebody's acting and you go, wait a second, maybe that's their whole plan is that they want to aggravate me. So, you know what, you got to just kind of take it easy and relax and not get sucked into that. You know, that might be the case, it might not be, but, you know, you definitely got to think, can't take everything for what it is.
Yeah, actually, I've learned to not take anything personal in life. Like, if someone tells me I'm the best, or if someone tells me I'm the worst, like, I know what I am, and I don't take anything personal. Because if somebody has something to do, something bad, or something with me, and they don't like me, that's their problem. You know, that's nothing to do with me. So.
What's your show based around now? What is your show based?
16 girls, 2 different weight classes. So I'm going against 8 of the girls, and we fight each other off to win the finale.
I think that's awesome. Good luck. I mean, you know, stay healthy. Keep an eye on the people you might be fighting. Try to pick up what they do well and what they don't.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually the most experienced fighter in my weight class. I'd actually fought one of the other girls before. I actually was in a tournament once with 8 girls, and I fought 3 times in one night. So, I went 15 minutes for first fight, choked the girl out right away in the second fight, and went 15 minutes for third fight. And if I can do that, then I can definitely do a show spread over so many weeks with 8 women, you know.
Yeah, and you'll be able to handle it. You know, it's just the kind of thing where it's definitely going to be a lot of tension in the air at times, you know. Obviously there's anxiety involved. It's just like, you know, it's just like anything, but like I said, just, you know, you got a lot of experience, it sounds like, you know, you're a cool customer, so just, you know, keep yourself in check, you know, don't get caught up getting too anxious about, you know, when you're going to fight, you know when you're ready to fight, it's going to be go time, so in the process, just try to relax.
Yeah, good. I will.
Yeah, you don't want to burn all that energy. Like a lot of guys, when they were first in the house, you know, they were, oh, who do you think's fighting who? And yeah, they're talking about all the matchups and whatnot. And I was like, man, when we're back at the house, I don't really want to talk about anything fighter related. I'd rather relax a little bit. Yeah.
Well, my friend, Cameron Dollar, who was one of the students, he told me some advice. He said that he actually said, like, the way Billy Nelson won was the best way. Don't try to win your fight as fast and as easy as possible so that you don't risk injury. Don't try to go all crazy and all out in practice because you don't want to risk injury, is what he said. He's like, you're not going to learn anything else that you don't already know within a couple of weeks on the show. You know, so don't. That's kind of like the advice he gave me, just try to stay healthy.
Yeah, I think that's a big important thing. I mean, obviously, you train smart and train safe. And, yeah, exactly. I mean, try to take the person out, in as safe a manner as possible for yourself. I mean, you know, my first fight in the house, I was able to ground my opponent and just kind of ground pound him and control him. There's a couple times I tried to maybe try to finish him, but what I didn't see was it could be so easy. I just settled to grind him out and stay safe. But, you know how it is. You get in there sometimes and the blood starts flowing. I mean, you're not thinking about any fight after the fight that you're in right then. So, you know, sometimes, it's hard to control the intensity. And you know, once you get in there to fight, I mean, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah. Anything can happen. That's true.
Now, what was
so your plan could have been to control the person or do some one thing, but it doesn't turn out like that. Next thing you know, you guys are going blow for blow.
Yeah, game plans hardly ever work.
Yeah.
I was just curious, what was Dana White like in person up front, you know, and did you guys get to see him when the cameras weren't rolling at all, or was it pretty much on camera?
Man, I had nothing but good things to say about Dana. He's awesome. I mean, he was he's real genuine. Like, I remember when I met him out at the show for the auditions, when he was out there, he was really courteous and really, like, you could see he was having fun. Like, he really enjoyed what he was doing, you know, at the tryouts, even though it was like almost a 15-hour day. He took the time to meet every person that went up there to try out. On the show, he was cool as hell, man. He was excited to see us competing, and he would talk with us when he had time to after or before fights, or sometimes when he would come in to make announcements and things like that. You know, we get a chance to talk with him a little bit, and man, it was a great experience. I mean, I really like Dana.
I have a question. I've heard that, are you having a hard time finding sponsors? Because I've heard that for you to compete in the UFC, that your sponsor has to pay the UFC $100,000 off the top before they even pay you.
I'm not sure about all of that, but I know that's for certain. I think that applies for larger companies maybe, but... I don't honestly know the logistics to that.
I think the way it works, I mean, I'm not exactly sure either, but I know I've read about this myself, and I know that it's been talked about, big into the money side of MMA. Don't even get me started on the whole science issue, but I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, I know.
The reason right now why on the Ultimate Fighter show, you didn't see a Zion's label in the cage when you fought on the show, but you see one everywhere else is in the UFC cage. Because, some of the advertising for the first show is what got Zion started as a company. And I've got a whole site devoted to the backstory on Zion. That's very interesting. And the Fertitta's own.
Are you pro or against?
Pro Zion or against? And, well, right now it's kind of a catch-22. They're bankrupt. So.
They've been bankrupt for years, though. They've been bankrupt for 3 years.
Yeah. The Fertittas own it, you know, so they're trying to go take it through a bankruptcy. Like, they don't have any money, but they have all the money in the world, and they burned all the shareholders to do it. So I think they're just being shrewd businessmen, but they're being a lot of greedy bastards, too, because they're doing the same thing to the casino, and the science thing was like a trial run for it. But anyway, I don't want to, like, smear the whole show in a different direction, but... I have a website called ZionSucks.com, so if you ever want to go, that's where you go.
Good website.
That's how I feel.
But, there's a whole bunch of stories related to that. But basically, you know, just the background of the whole sport and the money issues and stuff like that, I know a lot about. I was just kind of curious as far as the... speaking of science guys, you know, Chuck Liddell was one of the very first people science latched onto and got a hold of, gave a big sponsorship to. And that's part of the reason why they got in trouble was they were given huge sponsorship to some of the fighters that they couldn't even keep up with. And, you know, not to mention the company was run by a convicted felon at one point. But, anyway. Chuck Liddell, big question, because I know a lot about him that hasn't been published. What's he like right now, and do you think he's ready to fight, and do you think he's definitely not ready to retire and shouldn't retire?
Chuck's ready to go, man. He was, Chuck, you know, he took a full year off from training. You know, when he was on the show, he was always, he was working out with us, working out with the guys. He was working out after. We had practices. I know he went and, worked out more, and he was getting ready for his fight for a while. And, he looked in good shape, and he was training hard. And I know he trained really hard after the show too. So, but Chuck's ready to go. I'm excited to see him fight again. You know, I think people are going to be surprised. I think everybody maybe has written him off just because he had a bad couple fights. You know, in the past, 4 or 5 fights, but. That happens sometimes. You see it in MMA, guys. They go on runs where they're winning all their fights, and then sometimes they drop a couple in a row, and just like any sport, as soon as somebody starts losing, everybody starts writing them off.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think in the MMA world and in boxing and any of those sports that everybody shines for a while. You're not going to always be at the top, so you better be nice to everybody because it's be coming down someday. I think it just goes around and everybody gets their turn to shine if they deserve it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And a couple questions both of you can answer here. Number one, what do you love most about MMA? And number two, what's your ultimate goal in the sport? Whoever wants to start, go ahead.
Go ahead, Rich.
Okay. MMA, I mean, I love fighting. I love training. Learning and getting better every day. I love the lifestyle that you have to live to compete as a professional fighter. I love just constantly trying to better myself and improve day in and day out, and then being able to test myself and what's like the ultimate proving ground as far as I'm concerned. You know, when it comes to combat, man. So that's I love it. I mean, I'm very passionate about it. I love the sport. I think it's had a great evolution, and it's exciting to see where it's going. I forgot to point to it because of my ADD.
If you have ADD.
What was the second part of that question?
What's your ultimate goal in the sport?
Ultimate goal of the sport is, to make the rest of my career in the UFC right now. You know, I set, small goals a little bit at a time. The goal I set for myself a long time ago was, I'm all about being realistic. And, my goal was to get into the UFC and win. So now I'm on the brink of achieving that goal. And after I achieve that goal, I will, set new goals, but my long-term goal is definitely to have a distinguished career in the UFC and finish my fight career in the UFC. God willing, hopefully that's gonna happen.
How old are you, Rich?
32. I'll actually be 33 next week, though.
Oh well, Randy Couture's first fight was 32. 34. 34? Really? I read the book. A while back. I thought it was his first year. 34, it's even better.
Yeah, I mean, Randy Couture is definitely the exception, but I will say that
You're my age. I'm trying to do an amateur boxing comeback.
The thing is I've never stopped training. I always competed in sports my entire life. I mean, I'm in the best shape of my life. I feel better than I ever have. I'm definitely in my prime, and I got a lot of good years ahead of me. So, I'm not 24, but I'm not 44 either. So, I feel like I could have another 5 years in me solid. You know, I feel great every day.
Of course, you're gonna ask how does the handicap feel?
Huh?
How does the hand feel?
The hand feels great. The hand feels fine, no problem. I mean, I lead a real healthy lifestyle. I diet. I take care of myself. I don't go out and burn the candle at both ends. And this is just how I live my life anyway. So, I'm a young 32, and, I can run circles around guys 10 years younger than me.
Angelo, I want to get your questions, your answers. Go for
my
it.
Answer?
Yeah, what do you love about the sport, and what's your ultimate goal?
Well, like I said before, I've done a lot of sports, and nothing kept my attention because of my ADD, and MMA was the only thing that I learned something new every single day. I challenge myself, and I get to learn something new, and you stay young by learning, When you stop learning, you start to rot, and when you keep learning, you're bleeding and you're growing. So the fact that I always get to learn is such a turn on for me. I love learning, and the sport evolved. Like before, everybody go for double leg takedowns. Now I'm like doing, upper body clench and doing takedowns from there because I don't want to get hit in the face. So it's just evolving, and that part of the sport, it just kept my attention. My ADD is hard for me to deal with. Other sports, so MMA always kept me straight, kept me from partying too much. Kept me from just keeping in the gym, better to bleed at the gym than on the streets. I picked out every school I ever went to for fighting. Go figure, I'd become a professional fighter. But I just love it. It's my whole life, And when it was taken, when it was all taken from me, I started to define myself by fighting when I broke my back. It was all taken from me in a second. It was crazy. And I had to find the love in what I do, And did a lot of soul searching, and it's something I'm going to do for the rest of my life and always be involved, whether it be training, whether it be coaching, whether it be having my own gym. I'm going to always be involved in it. And the people are amazing, really. Every time I've ever traveled anywhere and trained other gyms, but the people who are douchebags are usually like the promoters and the people like around the promoters and their little groupies. But the fighters are stand-up people. They're a lot of them are very educated. Like as compared to boxing, the average champion in MMA has a college degree. And in boxing, they have like a sixth grade education. All these people are very educated. They're great people. The fighters are just great, great, great. The real fighters. There's a lot of those, douchebags that do it just to get the chick or whatever. But the real fighters are stand-up people.
And what's your ultimate goal in the sport?
I'm going to be the pioneer. I want to, I wish Dana White would open his eyes and let women fight. I mean, that's my goal, is to be able to fight in the UFC, whether it be 10 or 15 years down the road. I would love to be in the UFC just because that's a super goal of it, MMA, that's a big time. And his excuse is there's not enough women in enough weight classes. And I'm like, my point is we don't want to have a full woman's card every fight. Or even make much fight every 2 weeks. You don't have to have a woman on every fight, just maybe once a month or once every couple of months. I don't know what his holdup is and why he doesn't want to do it. But
well, I
want to. One
of the reasons why you can't get a contract with the network TV stations, 4 or 5 or 7. The whole HBO.
Yeah, that's with NBC. We're network television. You don't even have to watch. You don't even have to have cable to watch our show. And. Hopefully after this show, maybe he'll open his eyes and realize that, women are very entertaining. The Gina Carano fight had more viewers than any UFC ever, and he knows that. And he doesn't care. He has enough money. It doesn't matter to him. I just hope one day that we will perform good enough and be on this show and let the whole world see what we're about and that we train just as hard as the men and it's a little more difficult for us, I believe, because, like myself, I'm a single mother, and guys, they can just leave their kid at home with their wife, I have to bring my daughter to the gym, put her to bed in the extra room, while I train, feed her dinner at the gym. Like, her whole life has been spent at a gym. And sometimes I feel bad and I feel guilty that, I'm going to get to tuck my daughter into bed this evening because she's at the gym sleeping. But I'm doing it for her. Is it going to be a better life for her eventually? Different dynamics for women. Like, I've even had the problems. I'm the only chick in my gym, and I need to go fight, and I need a coroner, and I have to have somebody corner me that I don't even know, because the men who I train with have these jealous women and wives and girlfriends that won't let them come with me. Well, it's not about anything but fighting and training. It's just a whole different dynamic for women. It sucks.
That's rough. I mean, I talked to plenty of women in boxing trying to make it, and, you know, it was a whole different story for them when they were trying to make it years ago before MMA really took hold as a sport, period. And,
yeah.
You know, there were girls that were telling me that their car was breaking down, you know, and they were going to make enough money in their next fight to get their car fixed, and, you know, it's rough. Even now that boxing is established, the women's aspect of it has taken a very long time to really develop here, especially in the United States. But overseas, there are main events on national TV in some of the European countries when they have females on the card, you know, that have huge records and belts and stuff. You know, so it's different. You'd think that in the United States, where it's equal opportunity and women have the right to vote, that they'd be equal quality in MMA like that, but not so much. You know, the way that it's set up, it's not like boxing, where that is, you know, it's a worldwide sport done the same way everywhere. You know, there's differences, and there's different organizations controlling it rather than you know, one regulatory body or one set of rules.
Yeah.
It's kind of a new dynamic that we'll have to figure out over time. I don't know if it's going to be the best way to do things. You know, having these competing organizations, and it's not regulated everywhere, and, you know, there's still a lot of growth to happen. So I think we will see him eventually once he sees a show like this, of course. You know, if you guys really make a big impact. And,
so he doesn't have the motivation of money. He's got all the money in the world. You know what I mean? He doesn't, so it's got to be something else. He's got to be so dynamic and so badass that he wants it, you know, because money isn't what's going to push him.
Right.
I don't know what it's going to take, but it's going to happen.
That was
awesome. Give him a little pep talk first to Joe Silva and David.
What happened?
I said, tell them that you need to get women in here.
I'm barely in there.
Okay, well, when you're champion, when you're champion.
Lonnie Gager, he can tell them whatever you want.
Yeah, when you're the champ, then tell them. You should really get some women.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things. You know, it's just I guess part of it, you know, is the stigmatism that. You know, for women, people don't feel like it's natural to watch women fighting. You know, there's a lot of people out there that can barely watch guys fighting. Do you know what I'm saying? And now you're going to put women in there fighting. I mean, it makes it very difficult. And that's in the eyes of the people who are kind of ignorant to the sport and whatnot. You know, maybe the UFC is not there. I mean, obviously they know. You know, they're obviously in control of whatever they're going to do. But, you know, maybe the sport isn't there at the time. I mean, I think eventually it will be. I mean, I think it's great. They're, you know, we hit up the girl, Jessica Aguilar, out of American Top Team.
Last time I fought her, I beat her. The second time we fought, I ran litigation with Florida State Boxing Commission. She kissed the referee, and you can watch it on YouTube. And Magana versus Aguilar, round three. She was bleeding in my face, and they stopped it, said that I submitted when there was no way. I had her in an armbar, and she busted open, bleeding all over my face.
Oh, yeah.
So then I got to fight her a third time, and I beat her. Yeah, that's my nemesis, and she's on the show. It's funny.
Is Jessica on the show?
Huh?
Is Jessica on the show?
Yeah, she's on it.
Fantastic. Yeah. I feel like I'm so Yeah, I feel like I'm so 2,000 late.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing is, like, you know, I know I see her. She works.
She what? Hello?
Rich, you there?
I think we lost him.
Yeah, we did.
Rich, did you hang up on him?
I didn't hang up on him.
Is he out of America Top Team?
Maybe he had to go way in.